All right. Welcome to the November 30th, 2021 VC API call. This is scheduled to be the last call of the year. On the agenda today, and we have Joe scribing. Thank you very much, Joe. On the agenda today, we had kind of an agenda review, introductions, relevant community updates. And then we were going to cover interop testing priorities and then issue processing as time allows. However, we don't have a ton of implementers on the call today, that are implementing the VC API. So what we may want to do instead is do issue processing, specifically with, an issue that has been getting a decent bit of airtime, and that's the credential refresh thing. Are there any other updates or changes to the agenda? Anything else folks want to cover today? All right. If there's nothing else folks would like to cover, let's do intros and reintros. I think we all know each other here. Yes. That's the, we're all regulars. So let's move into any, relevant community updates. Got a few. We were going to talk about this a bit today, but people are trying to plan the interop testing for 2022. And I think, the goal was to try and make it less of a extreme sports event as it typically is, and trying to make it a little more low key and try to get the community to kind of engage on one thing at a time instead of trying to do everything, get interop on everything all at the same time. So there'll be probably a set of discussions over the next couple of well, definitely not next month, but in January, about how we want to do that and how we can do a better job of ensuring that, the rest of the implementer community, you know, outside of the SVIP program has the ability to kind of engage at the same level, meaning that we're going to try to do this specifically through this open group. And have all the conversations here. And so I think that's the plan. So that's what the one item. The other item was, you know, the DidCore update. We don't really know where that we don't have a timeline, a firm timeline yet. That was discussed on the CCG call earlier today. And I think that's it. Any thoughts, concerns, comments? Any other updates anyone else has? Oh, the other thing that's probably worth mentioning here as well is the mobile driver's license announcement or the verifiable driver's license announcement. So, let's see, VDL, verifiable driver's license announcement. So a couple of companies, Matter, Spruce, and Digital Bazaar specifically, have been working on an interop test suite for mobile driver's licenses, trying to follow the ISO 18013-5 standard, mobile driver's license standard, but mapping it to verifiable credentials, doing like a direct mapping in an attempt to demonstrate how it could be done, using verifiable credentials. We use the VC API to do that, and invite anyone that's implementing the VC API to add their implementations to that test suite. If you support the 2018 Edwards Curve signature, you should be able to pass the test suite right now. There's some stuff with BBS Plus in there and, you can go and read a bit more about the test suite there, but it's using the work that this group's working on to kind of achieve the interop test suite stuff there. Yeah, so that's only relevant because we use the VC API to demonstrate interop there. Okay. Any other updates, changes, questions? Okay, if not, we will go right into issue processing. Here's the, let's see, topic issue processing. Here's the list, but Dimitri, do you have the specific? Awesome. Thank you. And so over to you, Dimitri, take us away.
Thanks. Yeah, so I wanted to start the conversation on this issue and the background. One second. The background for this is that in implementing the VC API, we came across a couple of interesting problems to solve, and we realized that we can solve them all with this same mechanism of interactive issue requests. So the problems we came across were, one, there's a lot of use cases where before the issuer issues a credential, it needs prerequisites. So how do we say, taking a normal VC API issue request, so I'm a client, I want a credential, how do we normatively or how do we standardize the fact that the issuer says, no, before I issue the credential, I need these prerequisites. I need these credentials from you, the client, first. So that was the first problem, prerequisites. The second one was had to do with cross-device issuing and specifically combining legacy authentication schemes with the VC API world. More specifically, it's very, very likely that the issuers in the enterprise and in education world, they already know their users, but they don't know their DIDs. They know them as, you know, numbers in the database. They have a user ID. So before issuing you a newfangled verifiable credential, they not only need to have DID auth, but they also need traditional authentication. They need you to authenticate to their Active Directory service or their OpenID Connect or something similar. So that was the second set of problems. How do we combine this need of submitting multiple types of authentication to the issuer before something gets issued, which kind of ties in with prerequisites, but it was a class of its own. And then the third one was reissuing, right? If we have expiring credentials, we wanted a way for a wallet or any other client to say, okay, this thing is expiring. Let me ask the issuer for a fresh copy. And so the mechanism proposed in that issue essentially solves all three of those use cases by extending the issue call a little bit, that instead of return, when a client is asking the issuer to issue something, instead of just issuing and returning directly, this extends it that the issuer can say, no, I need these prerequisites. And it provides a continuation endpoint. It says, let's continue the conversation over here, right? It uses that interact section of the response to kick off an interactive series. So that's the overall context. The issue provides examples both of the sort of combining traditional authentication with DID auth, and then provides an example of reissuing. So, yeah, I want everybody to take a look at it, ask questions, see if there's any red flags, and love to ideally bring it up to the larger community to see if we can extend it into the API. That's it.
Okay, thanks, Dimitri. Adrian, you're on the queue.
So, Dimitri, starting with this idea of a continuation and a cross-credentialing situation, This is one of the things that is primarily tackled in the GNAP specification. Is there anybody looking at this process or standardizing this process of linking, linking the different phases of the API? And if so, are we going to do something different than the stuff that GNAP has been working on for, you know, a year, and why?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that. Very specifically, the interaction mechanism in this proposal is taken directly from GNAP. So in addition to the examples, I go into an overview of existing standards and prior art, where we take a look at the ARIES issuance protocol, the DIFS, WACI presentation exchange, GNAP, and OpenID Connect, like PSYOP and stuff. So, yes, absolutely. We're aware, and we are, in fact, taking the mechanism directly from GNAP and using that terminology and that same concept. We're also taking the existing DID core notion of service endpoints and reusing that there as well.
If I'm still the only one on the queue, so may I ask the obvious question then, is why aren't you taking GNAP itself as opposed to taking the, the intent of GNAP or the method of GNAP, or not calling it GNAP?
Great question. So GNAP itself is not, it's a similar protocol to VC API, but it's not directly concerned with issuing or presenting. It's slightly different aim. So as always, I want to point out I'm a big fan of the GNAP protocol. I'm part of the working group. I support what it does. I just think it's serving a slightly different cause.
Thank you.
I'm on the queue next. So one of the things I saw here, Dimitri, so first of all, like, fantastic write-up. Like, you put a lot of work into this, and really appreciate that. There were a couple of things that jumped out at me as the tweaks on the idea, right? So plus one, you know, to the idea of like initiating this thing where you say, hey, I want this from you. I want to start, you know, I want a course completion credential, right? And I think that's pretty generally accepted as, you know, if as a thing you want to do across all the ecosystems that we have right now. The second thing that looked good to me was, you know, allowing different query mechanisms to exist. I think, again, that's something that I think just about everyone in all the ecosystems is doing at this point. Borrowing the interact service stuff seems good to me. And then, you know, the continuation stuff, it also seems like a good thing. The questions I had to do with this initial initiation, like, should we reuse the credentials issue endpoint? And so this is a very specific question about the VC API that I have. And then the other question I have is, has to do with, let's just talk about this first one here. The concern I have with using the credentials issue endpoint is that it was designed to receive a full-blown credential. Like it's an internal facing only thing. I know we're not necessarily using that terminology anymore, but it was meant to be this like authenticated endpoint. You have to be authenticated to call it. And further down here, I think somebody suggested, hey, yeah, why don't we use presentations available? I think that's probably something that we'd want to really look at, right? So thoughts?
Let's clarify. Good question. Good question. It is a fundamental question that the group should answer. Do we extend the credential issuance or credentials issue endpoint, or do we create a new one? The presentations available endpoint was something else. That was the question of how does the client even know what type of credential to ask the issuer for? And that's a slightly different question. Either it's application specific, the client only needs one type of credential, so that's the one it asks for. Or we can have elaborate mechanisms where the issuer can batch, just like your medical records or your bank system periodically sends you an email that says, hey, we have a message available. We're not going to tell you what it is, but go over here to your other mailbox and see what's accumulated. Right, we could do that sort of similar mechanism with VC API using something like presentations available. So that's slightly different. But back to your question of why extend the issue endpoint. So and like I said, we can do either. But the argument for reusing and extending the issue endpoint is to allow for a rich set of use cases where the issuer needs prerequisites. That's it, right? There's a lot of use cases where if you're not just going to issue, you're going to issue if these other things are presented. Now, should that be another endpoint? Up to the group. Now, as far as authentication, in these examples, these are authenticated calls to the credentials issue endpoint. So that bit is not a problem. But should we reuse or add another one? I'm not sure.
All right. We've got Adrian, myself, and Joe on the queue. Go ahead, Adrian.
So continuing on this topic, what do you see as the slightly different cause between this issue in VC API and the application of GNAP itself as an IETF standard to VC API? What's this difference that we are working with?
Good question. I would need to, I need more time to think about that and give you a better response.
Thank you.
So let's get back to that part.
I
will start thinking about it. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I was muted in talking. Okay, so we'll get back to that. I think there continues to be confusion around what slash presentations available means. Your description of it just now, Dimitri, was what my understanding of it was multiple weeks ago. Until Joe and Eric did and Juan redid the flow diagrams, and now my understanding of it is very different. And so I think that confusion is still like we need to. I don't think presentations available does what you just said it does.
I honestly don't know. I was like I mentioned in the thread. I actually couldn't quite understand it from the spec of what it does. And
yeah.
So I think I found out a little more in from people's comments here.
Yeah. So all I'm doing, and all I'm trying to do is highlight, like, I think there's some miscommunication there, and I think we can get to the point where there isn't any, and then I think we're all going to end up on the same page. But that's why I'm questioning the slash credentials issue versus presentations available needs to go away. We need to rename it because it's confusing some people, myself included. I think we need to start talking about things like workflows or starting workflows or starting the issuance of a credential or something like that. But the language, I think, it's poorly worded. It's leading people down the wrong path. That's it, Joe. I'll scribe for you. And you're up next.
What is not clear to me, So I heard what you were proposing here in terms of where this API goes is that it would be on the issuer service. But I think that's similar to the same conflation we had between the verifier app and the verifier service. When the supply chain guys were saying, hey, the verifier service should support this functionality, when really what they meant was the verifier app should support this functionality. So when we separated the service and the app is running the business rules, I think that's where the prerequisites happen. So having an API on the issuer app, that's good. I think that's a good place for it. I don't think it goes in the service app. And that I think the way we've structured it, the service app is driven by, the issuer service is driven by the issuer app. So I'm not sure if that's out of sync with what you're proposing here, Dimitri.
Good question. So let me ask you this. In reissuing a credential, where should that happen? On the app or on the service?
I think it's the app because the app is the one who would know who, in fact, is allowed to get a reissued credential. Like, you could have a policy writ large that, hey, anyone who has a current credential can request a renewal. But there's also probably other business rules to say, hey, if this is the third renewal, they have to come in and get tested again, or whatever kind of business rules may apply at that stage. Either we need a bespoke way to tell the service, and then the service is necessarily accepting requests from the public. And right now, the services don't have public endpoints like that.
I see. You're right that this proposal doesn't really make the distinction between the app and the service. Like it was put together before I saw that diagram.
Sure.
And so it was just building off of the current iteration of the VC API, which also doesn't distinguish. But I agree with you that should we introduce those concepts, we might want to specify that this is specifically a issuer app endpoint.
Cool. I'll take over scribing again, Manny. Thank you.
I believe Adrian. Yeah, Adrian, you're up.
Okay, this is a question as much for Joe, I think, as it is for Dimitri. Since we are sort of skirting around the various use cases here, I see the VC API as having to serve a spectrum of use cases that goes from a biometric mobile driver's license or diploma that are going to be used 1,000 times and have very strict not calling home requirements. Below that, you would have a grade report, which has other issues. Below that, you'd have a COVID test that might be used for a few months and a couple of dozen places. And then you have a boarding pass or a prescription that is meant to be used only once. All four of those, I think, are within the scope of the VC API. Correct me if I'm wrong. And I am wondering, as we discuss these interaction designs, how we plan to deal with adoption in all over this spectrum.
Right. Okay. So that's a very broad question. I'll let others answer as well. Just a couple thoughts on it. One, I think you're right that the VC API is meant to cover all of those use cases. The simple mechanism that this proposal references is the refresh service property of VCs. So I think there's another issue on the VC data model that talks about the refresh service. So let's look at that real quick. Oh, no, never mind. I think it's this one, yeah. So basically, if the VC has a refresh service entry, then the indication is that it is meant to be renewed. And if not, it's not. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, but that's all.
I mean, you're asking a very broad question in terms of how do we make sure adoption works. I don't think anybody has the answer to that.
All right. Yeah, I'm up. So Dimitri, my read's the same as Joe's. It's on the app, not on the service. And that's where a lot of my concern kind of came from, is that initial call was directly through to the service, which does not have any public facing endpoints, and it was being treated as such. So that tells us two things. One, this new split between app and services is a useful distinction, because we can point to it and go like, no, it's not on that thing. It's not on the service thing. It's on the app thing. And now that if we all agree that it's on the app thing, then that makes it much easier to talk about, right? Because I think in some cases, like Dimitri, you said it's authenticated, but I don't necessarily believe that's true in all cases. Like when you're doing refresh with a bearer token, it's not like an OAuth style authenticated thing, right? You could say the authentication is happening because of the bearer token, but it is literally a public endpoint that you're hitting with no prior authentication. So all that to say that the authentication is different from the one that we've defined for the credentials, endpoint. So all that to say, I think we really do need to have a discussion about presentations available, the naming around that, and how we need to change that to fit, to expand, to cover this type of use case, the credential refresh, continuation of issuance, you know, that kind of stuff. Joe, you're up next. I will scribe for you.
Yeah, I guess this is a response for Adrian. To maybe clarify, adoption's a really big question, and I think we're all engaged in adoption at a couple different levels. But I'm not sure what in the technical spec you're concerned about with regard to adoption. Like, are you seeing potential patterns here that would restrict adoption some way? That would be interesting to hear.
Oh, yes, specifically, as I've said too many times, I'm concerned about where delegation fits in. We are making certain architectural clarifying assumptions as to some things are internal and some things are external, some things are services, some things are apps. Some things can be delegated by the issuer and some things can or cannot be delegated by the subject. And I think I've tried to contribute a few cases, like, for instance, the cruise ship use case that relates to COVID tests and vaccine registries and boarding passes, for example, with or without there being a biometric driver's license type thing also involved. And that's the point of my issue or my question. Is I really do believe that delegation, whatever aspects of delegations are considered in scope for what we're talking about, will make this all much clearer as we engineer the flows and the endpoints. And that's kind of so it's not so much adoption, though I know I mentioned adoption as the driving force. It's indirectly adoption because delegation is so closely tied to adoption by both the issuer and the subject. Thank you.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I was waiting with bated breath to ask the question that you answered in the last sentence. So now I'm trying to understand that last sentence. So your concern is that adoption will be restricted unless there are particular forms of delegation available.
Yes, or it's even worse than that. My concern is that we will be forced to use wallets that are certified by powerful issuers like government in the mobile driver's license example, and in effect lose the ability to delegate other use cases because it just becomes so incredibly convenient to say Apple Wallet will deal with the biometrics, will deal with the authentication, will be certified, and Bob's your uncle. Use it for both your boarding passes and your driver's license and everything in between. And that is the concern that that drives what I'm talking about.
So I'm a little confused how adoption, authorization, and the restriction to particular implementations are related on a technical level. Because I understand that there will be powerful players. Those powerful players will demand that you use whatever technology that they deem is appropriate for their use case. That's a power dynamic problem. I'm trying to tie it back to the authorization and the adoption issues that you've identified. I'm struggling to understand what technically could we do or should we not do that would help address this power dynamic that's driving your concern. Because I agree with the problem of the power dynamic, just not understanding how it fits into what we're talking about.
Well, technically speaking, we would give the subject the power to delegate just as we're giving the issuer the power to delegate. And that, I think, I could be wrong, but I think that is the most we can do in order to sort of mitigate the risk of sort of platforms hijacking Web3 or whatever you want to call decentralization. That's what I'm saying technically.
Dimitri, you're up, and then Joe.
So I want to echo what Joe said and reiterate that you're absolutely right. The power dynamic is a really important issue. I'm not sure it's related to this issue 245. I'm not sure it's related to this proposal. Like, I'd love to schedule a separate issue topic on one of these calls to talk about it, but I think it's derailing the conversation slightly.
Joe, you're up.
Cool. So although I share, not to name drop, but I got the strong sense of this principle from Mark Miller, that if they can do it, they will do it. So you should enable delegation. And so I agree that delegation is good, but there are use cases where that is not appropriate. And it should be an exercise of hacking the system in order to jump through hoops to let someone else pretend to be you with your driver's license as a bad delegation, which for the use case should not be allowed. And I think there are lots of those use cases, whether it's nuclear codes or driving a car or performing a surgery or speaking before the bar, what have you. So I'm not sure that we can even consider a requirement that all VCs or all roles in here must be delegatable. I'm not sure how to dance the nuance, but there are definitely use cases where delegation is not appropriate.
Just a quick note, this has turned into a delegation discussion, not an issue 245 discussion.
Yep.
Please wrap it up. Let's go back to the issue we were discussing. Adrian, you're up.
I am wrapping it up. This is the point of discussing biometrics explicitly as they relate to verifiable credentials. I've contributed some prose around that issue recently in one of the issues, and that's probably the right place to answer Joe's point. Thank you.
Sorry, I was just finishing up scribing. Thanks, Joe. Okay, so going back to the issue, Dmitry, where do you want to go from here? I think there's some amount of miscommunication happening that a little more discussion will probably help with. Is there anything concrete that we can do to help that discussion along? Like example, endpoints, flows, data. I mean, you've done a good job of putting stuff in there. I'm wondering if like, you know, a concrete refresh spec, you know, with concrete examples, HTTP flows would help. What would be a good next step?
Right. Good question. So one thing that I think this conversation is making clear, I need to clarify in examples that this is using OAuth2 authentication. In the exact sense that credentials issue requires it. And I may have forgotten to include that header in there, but it is absolutely intended by the use case. If you and others think that it should not be the credentials issue endpoint, but another one, propose another one in the comments. And I just want to make it clear that the presentation is available. That was introduced by me into the conversation because I misunderstood what it does. It actually has nothing to do with this use case. There isn't currently an endpoint that serves this use case. So if you have thoughts on, okay, it shouldn't be issue, then propose something else, right? And then it sounds like maybe we can come back to it on another call, introduce it to a broader audience as well. Those are my main thoughts.
Okay, so it sounds like more discussion in the issue to clarify. Joe, go ahead. I'll scribe.
I think this pulls in Juan or Eric with regard to how did we suggest in the use case conversation identifying the service versus the app for these endpoints. Cause it really is something like, you know, the issuer service / credentials issuer, versus issuer's app / credentials issuer. And I think we had found in the use case discussion that, it would be really valuable to identify both the component and the route. But I don't know what we ended up going with.
Go ahead, Juan.
I was just going to say we tried doing that, but didn't know most of the use cases well enough to answer, and there were too many question marks to commit it to GitHub.
Yeah, so essentially, Joe, we were actually supposed to meet last week during this hour, which kind of got dropped to do exactly what you just said. So that's outstanding work, as far as I'm concerned. And, yeah, Juan and I just got kind of wrapped around the axle a little bit when we were looking at it the one week, a few weeks back now. So that's, kind of on our to-do list is to wrap up, what you just described.
Okay, cool. I will. Let's do that. Sorry I couldn't make today's call, by the way. So that's one thing, Dmitry, is if we are going to move this over to, you know, the issuer app, figuring out a way to represent that in the proposal would be helpful. But I don't think we've come up with a standard way to make that clear. Like, is it just in the, I'm looking at the example under one, the VCA API iterative issue flow, you know, you have host issuer.example.com. that's probably where we should say something like issuer service and issuer app. Maybe that's the right place to start making those distinctions.
Right. Let's see. We've got 15-ish minutes left. Queue's empty. Trying to think of next steps here. I don't think we still have enough implementers to actually talk about, prioritization, test suite prioritization stuff. So we could end early or we could keep doing issue processing. Any suggestions one way or the other? All right. Well, I'm gonna suggest that we end early, because we really do want to have more implementers on the call. And this was the last meeting of the year. We're giving everyone December off, so we will have to, those of us that are, you know, implementing the BC API, we're gonna have to chase down the other implementers and tell them that they need to get on the call so that we can prioritize the 2022 priorities. The interop priorities for 2022. Okay, that is it for today. Thank you, Joe, for scribing. Thank you, Dimitri, for being on your toes and presenting the refresh flows. No more meetings, VC API meetings for the rest of 2021. We will see everyone again January 4th, 2022. Happy holidays. Have a happy new year. See y'all in the new year. Ciao.